Wild. Wow. And I ain't saying that because Vince McMahon is retired. I'm not saying it because Triple H is now leading creative. What a wild brawl. I mean, the finish was pretty much predictable. In fact, if you checked out our preview show this morning, quite a few outcomes were exactly pretty much how we expected it. Brock Lesnar buried in a bunch of debris. My God, what a spectacular main event. We even got a little tease theory. We thought he was going to cash in, but no. Not just yet. You know what's amazing about theory? I was thinking about this tonight. I had to go look it up before I made a remark. Do you know, ever since Theory won the Money in the Bank briefcase, he has lost 13 matches in a row. 13. He has not won a single match since winning that briefcase. And yet, it feels like Theory is elevated. It's pretty wild. I mean, that rarely ever happens. And, you know, save me with, oh, stats don't matter and this and that. It does matter. It's all about perception. And that guy is getting his ass kicked. He's getting laid out. He's getting the shit knocked out of him by multiple people. He's losing match after match after match. And it feels like, you know, Theory's, yeah, he's doing, coming right along. That's when you know you got somebody special. So, good evening, everybody. Saturday night is all right for fighting. Old school Blackhearts reference. I think Elton John said that in a song as well. I am Don Tony, and this is your WWE SummerSlam recap. Little review as well. I want to thank you for joining me and for everyone that was with me this morning for the preview and the regular Don Tony show. Much love as always. Yes, I'm a little bit tired. Show went, you know, 4+ hours. You know, you count the pre-show. Excellent pay-per-view. How could you complain? I mean, there was a couple of moments here and there that, you know, we were like, ah. You know, it's not going to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. But I will say this. Of all the predictions and all of these scenarios that we talked about over the last couple of weeks, you know, the one that really gets to me today, if there's any complaint whatsoever, it's this. I love the Usos. I say it every time it's brought up to me. They are the number one tag team in the world. They back it up. They're in the ring week after week after week. It's not easy to not become stale when you're on TV every single week. You know, it's like a relationship. If you see someone once a week, there's that anticipation, that build. You see them once every couple of weeks. You start missing the person. When you have someone who is on your television sometimes two times a week, and it's week after week after week, and they are still entertaining at their level. Usos are the number one tag team. It's not even close. But I honestly don't know where you go from here with the Street Profits. We could say it till we're blue in the face. Do not break up the Street Profits. Online, people could make the noise. Don't break up the Street Profits. Where do you go from here with the Street Profits? I mean, it just feels like, and I'm not nitpicking tonight. I mean, we got an awesome pay-per-view. But as far as the Street Profits go, where do they go from here? Who is going to defeat the Usos? You might remember a couple of weeks ago I said it might be a tag team that's not even on the roster as a tag team right now. It may be a makeshift tag team down the line. I'm starting to feel that more and more, especially after tonight. You think about the Street Profits. They had an amazing match at Money in the Bank. It felt very, very bland, their feud with RK-Bro. It felt like they were all over the place. You remember we talked about it this morning, that it almost felt like that the Street Profits were turning heel at points. Then they got on this big momentum in Montez Ford getting in, you know, even better shape. We gave a lot of love to Angelo Dawkins. That man has upped his game like arguably no other on the WWE roster right now. And you get the Money in the Bank match. And even with the Usos as the number one tag team, a lot of people thought, this is the moment. We're in Nashville, Tennessee. They're coming out with this spectacular entrance, looking like the Titans. You have the crowd totally, totally behind them. And they lose. They lose. I can't help but to think that the future of the Street Profits as a tag team might be in jeopardy. It's not up to me. It's not up to you. Ultimately, it's up to them. And if they think Montez Ford is better utilized as a singles competitor, they will do it. I hope they don't. I hope they don't split them up because I really enjoy them as a tag team. But this was a huge missed opportunity. You know, what are you going to do? Wait till WrestleMania next year? Then they get the WrestleMania moment. I'm sure it'll be good, and I'm sure it would be special if it happened. But you feel it. You see the way things are going. If there was ever a perfect time to put those belts on them, it was tonight. And they did not do it. Very, very interesting. They did not do it. The Bloodline remains with all the belts. Brock Lesnar, I mean, even Michael Cole at the end. I mean, look, I know there's a lot of you that don't like Michael Cole. I think Michael Cole's performance tonight might be the greatest commentary work that he has done in over a decade. I mean, some of his biggest detractors tonight were really, really paying attention on his words. And it's not the Jesse Ventura reference that Vince never wanted brought up. It's not that he brought up Ric Flair's retirement match. It's not that at all. It's just the energy, the vibe. Even at the end, you know, Brock, just stay the hell down. Referee, count faster. You know, that reminds me of Jim Ross. My God, he has a family. It just clicked tonight. It just clicked tonight. I thought this premium live event was awesome. Last year, a lot of you thought that SummerSlam 2021 was better than WrestleMania 2021. I got news for you. They gave a run for WrestleMania's money for this year. They really did. We had some early surprises, a couple of returns. Shout out to Josh that was part of the predictions contest. And he's like, DT, why are you putting down that is Bayley going to make an appearance? We know that she's not going to make an appearance. I didn't know if she was. But let's get into it. There's no reason for me to ramble. I will give you my overall thoughts of this event. I'll show you a couple of little quick clips as we go along. And it's up to you if you have not tuned into this event, if you want to go watch it. I'm not going to do recap every little move. I'm just going to give you my overall thoughts of this event. And I definitely recommend each and every one of you out there, if you haven't watched WWE in a while, this is the one to check out. And if you're contemplating on watching it, this is one you definitely want to check out. Now, I will spare everyone for the video, but I think we figured out tonight why TV-14 was the rating for this premium live event. Bacon! I had to do it at least once. Oh, my God. Bacon! Oh, my God. If you didn't see this, theme parks with Johnny, what's up? I'll get into your super chat in a moment. He ran in, spoiled my little screenshot. Kid Rock theme song for SummerSlam tonight was Front Row. And look, I have nothing against anybody who dates someone that's big, small, you know, round, triangle, black, white, you know, 10 toes, 12 toes, whatever floats your boat. I could have done without Kid Rock tongue kissing that woman on the screen. Now, sure, if she looked a little bit different, some of you may have ran to OnlyFans and... I always make that sound on the audio-only shows in the past. Now you know why it hurts so much when I say that. I didn't need to see that. I think that's why it was TV 14 tonight. Bacon! Boy. All right, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. All right. We had a couple of surprises tonight. And, you know, I'm just going to bring them up right away. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair had a spectacular open for SummerSlam. But before we even get into that match, after the match was over, we had three surprises. Little name tweak in the process, but we had three surprises. Did you think? No, this is better. Did you think not only were we going to get Bayley making her return tonight? Yes, she is still the pompous heel like she was before, but we also got Io, do not call me Shirai anymore, Io Sky and Dakota Kai. Sky and Kai, I could hear it already. Kai and Sky. Sky and Kai will probably be the front runners of your next WWE Women's Tag Team Champions if we do not get Sasha Banks and Naomi back before the end of 2022. We've already crossed that bridge and talked about that. It will solidify what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. That sausage will, just you got to give it a little time. That's going to be aged sausage. But we had Io Sky, Dakota Kai, and Bayley make their returns. Very, very cool to see. Now, if you're into merchandise, we got here a little preview. That is Io Shirai, now known as Io Sky. And by the way, they're spelling Io IYO. Yeah, I didn't think of the spelling until I looked at this. It is IYO. That is how you say Io going forward, and it's Io Sky. That is a new shirt that is available. Listen, I know we rag on a lot of fake news, but we also got to tell it like it is when it is true. The reports that Io Shirai wanted to go back to Japan, that she was homesick, missed family, that is true. Io Shirai was next to done in WWE. Triple H convinced her to stay a little bit longer. I don't know what her schedule is going to be like. Now, I don't know if WWE owns the rights to Dakota Kai's name, and I don't think that they do. But her merchandise, she has the same name. Her name remains safe. That show reminds me a little, it got a little Alexa Bliss vibes to it, doesn't it? It's got a little Alexa Bliss vibes. Very cool. Very cool to see a majority of you in the chat room that are saying, hey, you know what? I'm cool with Io Shirai's name tweaked as Io Sky. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's more about what WWE does with the wrestlers than actual just a little name tweak. You know, that's why I didn't think the Max Dupree thing was all that much of a big deal. But if you want to go pick it up, Dakota Kai now has a shirt in WWE Shop, and Io Shirai, now known as Io Sky, she has a shirt in WWE Shop. And we have another shirt to show you that's on sale on WWE Shop. As we said this morning, tonight on SummerSlam, it was going to be Vengeance Day for Vengeance Day. Edge made his return, did exactly what we expected. Just when you thought the Mysterios were down and out, the music would hit, the entrance would hit, the flames would come out. Edge comes out, makes his return. Beautiful, spectacular. Everybody was into it. I got to be honest with you, though, when I saw his first impression, I thought it was Michael Jackson Thriller. If you look at his outfit, it kind of looks, from the fire, it looks like Michael Jackson Thriller. The red jacket, the black pants, but obviously it wasn't. Edge made his return. He helped the Mysterios get the win. Awesome spear the Damian Priest, we'll put it all together in a little bit, but the Judgment Day got theirs tonight. Where does it go from here? Was this a one and done, not to bite off the Usos? Was this a one and done with Edge and Judgment Day? No, I think this will go a little bit further. And do not lose hope about the Dominic heel turn. Wasn't going to happen tonight. Wouldn't have made sense. It would have been overshadowed. Edge's return would have been overshadowed by it. But maybe Ray and Edge start forming a little bit of a tag team. And maybe Dominic gets jealous. Just a wild idea that I'm throwing out there. But Edge made his return. I'm cool with it. I expect him to cut a promo on Raw Monday, hopefully to try to sort of apologize to the fans without apologizing to the fans, you know. But because remember, he was a man on a desert island. He, the night that he got destroyed by Judgment Day, he trashed the fans that night. Edge should have nobody on his side right now. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they did something on Raw where the Mysterios say, look, we don't need your help. Thank you, but no thank you. It's possible. It's very possible. So Edge made his return, and if you want to pick up his new shirt, that is available on WWE Shop. And very cool. So we got Io Shirai, we got Bayley, we got Dakota Kai, and we got Edge. All back on WWE television. Made me feel good. And I wasn't joking, folks. I ran to Amazon because I had to place a fresh order anyway, and I ordered a case of it. We even got an appearance tonight. Pure Life, the Maximum Male Models, doing a little SummerSlam skit promoting bottled water. And if you remember the watch party yesterday when I said, Mansoor, lick, we need to see the tongue. They did all the antics tonight with the water, kind of like implying some, you know, outrageous stuff. I ordered a case because you best damn believe when I get one of those pure waters, pure lives, I will do the Mansoor on the show, complete with the shades. But remember, if you want to do the Mansoor, you got to do it in slow motion. You can't just be like, that's, you know, when you do it in that speed, that's the Rock. You got to do it like Mansoor. You got to be like this, like. No, we stopped there. We stopped there. All right, let's put it all together, shall we? WWE SummerSlam is in the books. Now, how did we know that Edge was definitely making a return? Not just, you know, we all expected it, but before SummerSlam aired, the last cryptic video that I talked about this week, I said that it would air at SummerSlam. The cryptic video did air tonight. And remember we said SummerSlam was too many words to spell in blood. So he just wrote night. So I am coming tonight. I am coming, Veer Mahan. I am coming tonight. So that was the final cryptic video tonight. Edge was going to be at SummerSlam. Great. Loved it. Also, props to Logan Paul. You think of Bad Bunny. You think of Pat McAfee. You think of Logan Paul. These are three people that are not pro wrestlers, never envisioned to be pro wrestlers. Maybe Pat McAfee, when he was a kid, thought, you know, one day you never know. These guys have picked it up. Now, Bad Bunny's a one and done. Could happen next year. But Logan Paul, offense, defense, counter, standing moonsault, frog splash through the announcer's table, figure four, phenomenal forearm, skull crushing finale. The guy, I'm not a fan of Logan Paul. But you watch this match tonight, the guy shows he belongs. The guy is not taking this as a joke. This doesn't feel like a Raw special guest host that gets the opportunity to be in a match. The guy really, really shut. I mean, look, I'm a fan of Jim Cornette now. I'm very curious to see what Jim Cornette has to say about Logan Paul's performance tonight. Yeah, the frog splash on the table is hardcore stuff, but I thought he did tremendous tonight. I know he's a natural heel. Logan Paul is a natural heel. But tonight, the guy just shocked the shit out of me. I mean, I knew Miz would carry this. And if you heard the preview earlier, we kind of had an idea that AJ Styles was going to negate Ciampa. But he put on a performance tonight, man. That guy did a great job. But let's get into this. Let's get into this. Now, any super chats that come in, if they're related to what we're talking about, a particular point, I'll bring it up earlier. If not, I'll bring it up a little bit later. But this is your SummerSlam review. Earlier was the preview. Now this is the review. All right, let's tackle these matches. First match tonight, Bianca Belair retaining the Raw Women's Championship. I tell you, I thought they would tease Bianca losing in 28 seconds again, but this time she kicks out. We didn't get that. We had a straight up, took their time, beautiful wrestling match. I mean, these two women click. I know some of you felt after WrestleMania, you don't want to see Bianca and Becky again, just like a lot of you out there didn't want to see Roman and Brock again. They showed tonight why these two women make beautiful music together. They had a spectacular, spectacular match. You know, both of them showing a lot of emotion, a lot of frustration, almost to tears sometimes. Now, WWE tonight had a habit getting a little bit too much into the referee counting at 9 and 99 and 100ths. Becky almost got counted out. Roman Reigns technically should have been counted out at least twice, I would say, in that match. Brock, maybe once. But we had a couple of points with there as well. Becky, towards the later part in the match, attempts to hit the disarmer, but they get tangled up on the ropes, and then they start brawling outside, and Bianca hits what looked like a pretty vicious KOD to the outside floor. That's when Becky came in at like 9 and 99 and 100ths. I think that might have legit shaken up Becky a little bit. So Bianca, almost frustrated to tears over this because she can't put Becky away. Bianca attempts another KOD, but Becky counters. She uses Bianca's hair as the weapon, hits the manhandle slam only for a two, and now here comes Becky with the crocodile tears and frustration. What do I have to do to finish off Bianca Belair? Well, we end up getting a really nice-looking Spanish fly by Bianca Belair from the middle rope, followed by an immediate KOD for the win. And once again, Becky Lynch loses. Now, if you think of the storyline over the last month, you know, hyping herself up, she's back on a roll, she's going to win, she's going to get that. Nope, didn't happen. So now you wonder what the hell is going to happen with Becky Lynch going forward. So this was her attire early on, for anybody that wanted to see her attire. Now, we had, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, Becky Lynch hits the ring, sticks her hand out after the match is over. She wants a sign of respect. She wants to show respect to Bianca, hey, given a nod like, you are the better person. You beat me. Shake my hand. Now, Ariel Helwani just interviewed Bianca Belair. Got to go check out that interview. I mean, the praise that she gives for Becky Lynch is beautiful. And Bianca Belair, after some hesitation, shakes Becky's hand. Becky leaves the ring. So we think, okay, that interaction is over with. No, not necessarily. We get, hold on, this is better. We get Bayley. She comes down the rampway first. Then we get Dakota Kai. She comes down the rampway second. And Io Shirai, I don't know if you all noticed, but when she came out, I thought she was drunk. If you saw her coming down that rampway, she was excited. She was having fun, but she looked like she was toasted. We were looking at her like, why is she moving like it? But, you know, if you ever watch an Io Shirai entrance, you know why I'm saying that. So they hit the ring, and all three of them are in the face of Bianca Belair. Well, guess what happens? Yep, you guessed it. Becky Lynch goes to the side of Bianca Belair, and Becky is telling, come on, come on. Now, I'm sure a lot of you, like me, thought, who's going to be the third person to come out? Are we going to get one final surprise, and it'll be 3-on-3? No, we didn't get that. The three women back off, Sky, Kai, and Bayley. And where does this go from here? Do we get a Bianca-Becky tag team with an ultimate swerve by Bianca Belair? Excuse me, by Becky Lynch. I don't know. I kind of feel like we may get an alliance, but then in the end, Becky Lynch stabs Bianca in the back. No, CJ Rocks, you are lagging. If everybody else was lagging, they would be writing. We're lagging. So, great surprises, great opening match. I'm so happy that we're past the curtain jerker complaints, because that was something 5 years ago that everybody would complain about. Oh my God, so-and-so, why do they always have that person be the curtain jerker? Now it's, you know what, it doesn't matter if you're in the beginning of the card, the middle of the card, or even at the end sometimes. You put on a great match, everybody will remember it. So, good match, good surprises, we move on. Now we go to Logan Paul versus The Miz. This match, maybe a little shorter than we expected it to be. A lot of antics. Maryse at ringside. Ciampa at ringside. Ciampa at one point tries to get involved in the match. He's ejected out of here. Refuses to leave. AJ Styles' music hits. And we don't see AJ anywhere, but AJ dives what I guess was off the barricade. Dives onto Ciampa, they brawl into the crowd. Now, early on in the match, the storyline was The Miz being a little bit cocky to Logan Paul, slapping him on the head. You know, and by the way, we could only show like 2 second segments, 2-3 seconds. We don't want to get with any copyrights here. So that's why, but it's better than you get nothing, right? I mean, how many people out there do recaps and they don't even show you a screenshot of anything? So, you know, Miz early on, a little overconfident, but here comes Logan Paul. Like I said earlier, standing moonsault to the outside. Oh, you don't have to take my word for it. You could go see it for yourself. Standing moonsault to the outside, beautifully done. Frog splash through the announcer's table, beautifully done. Blockbuster, figure four, phenomenal forearm. The guy just looked like he's been doing this for quite some time. He has picked up on it so well. And listen, we've said it before. From WrestleMania to now, Logan Paul has definitely worked in the ring. It's pretty obvious. But the guy had a spectacular match tonight. And in the Miz losing, Miz loses nothing with this whatsoever. This was a tremendous match. If it wasn't for the main event, I would arguably say that this might have been my favorite match outside of Roman versus Brock. That's how good this match told the story. So ultimately, frog splash through the table, holy shit chance, hits a phenomenal forearm, which continues to that alliance idea that we talked about earlier. AJ Styles giving a little bit of a rub to, and look, we will see AJ and Logan Paul versus The Miz and Ciampa. Might end up being a Raw main event match in the near future. Might end up being Clash at the Castle. You don't know. But they put on a spectacular performance tonight. So I really, really enjoyed this match. I was really, look, I knew that Logan Paul, all the reports coming out is, hey, you know, he's taking this shit very, very seriously. We heard the same thing about Bad Bunny back then. If you remember, Drew Gulak and others that really went out of their way to say, this guy is really taking the shit seriously. You know, and let's give credit. Let's give credit to WWE. And it's not a shot. Just because you give credit on WWE doesn't mean a shot against AEW. But give credit to WWE that I'm sure there's a lot of celebrities that would love to get in that ring. I'm sure there's a lot of performers outside of wrestling for the payday, the notoriety, whatever it is. You look at Bad Bunny, Pat McAfee, even Johnny Knoxville, you know, and now Logan Paul. I mean, each one of them, it almost feels like there's a friendly competition going on. Like, okay, you know, hey, Pat McAfee did what he did. All right, Bad Bunny. All right, I'm sure Bad Bunny doesn't know anything about Pat McAfee, but still, I'm sure there's a little friendly competition. I show him. And then he does what he does, and then Pat McAfee comes back. Okay, I'll show him. And then here comes Johnny Knoxville. Oh, I'll show him. So I think amongst these non-wrestlers, I think there's a little friendly competition to see who could one-up each other. Darren, no shots fired at AEW. This is not about AEW tonight, except for one moment. Except for one moment. And anybody that follows my social media, you know about the AEW shot I took tonight. But this match, probably my least favorite match of the whole night. And Bobby Lashley was fucking awesome. Just the match was so freaking short. Bobby Lashley retains the United States Championship against Theory. Early on, before the match even started, Theory is attacking Bobby Lashley with the briefcase. Towards the latter part of the match, Lashley with a lot of offense ultimately misses a spear. And we think Theory is going to get the upper hand. Theory is outside the ring. He enters the ring and tries to charge Bobby Lashley, and he is greeted with a press. But instead of Bobby Lashley press slamming Theory, he locks the Hurt Lock. This crowd is, and we've been talking about it for weeks, the WWE Universe is really, really, really into Bobby Lashley. I would arguably say that Bobby Lashley might be in the top three of the most over wrestlers on the Raw roster. Might be Riddle, Lashley, and maybe Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair is crazy over as well. I remember 1 year ago at SummerSlam, you know, the feeling was so different. Look at how much that loss helped. You know, look, I know Vince is gone. Now we look forward to innovative, little refreshing. It's a little refreshing. It's like having a restaurant and you have the same owner, the same cook there for 50 years. It may not have been the worst, and you kind of get used to the same repetition, but you will get a little bit new here and there. But remember, Vince McMahon's idea last year, Bianca, trust me, in the end, it'll all work out. And it was true. It was true. But, you know, she might be the most over woman on WWE right now. So, yes, very, very cool. And look, as much as they loved Bobby Lashley tonight, oh, they hated Theory. Oh, my God, they just ate it up. They want to see Theory get his ass kicked. There's no go-away heat here. They want to see him get his ass kicked. Did I just have a fly on me or something? I felt something. I was like, what the hell was that? So, Bobby Lashley with the Hurt Lock, very, very fast match. Theory loses. Bobby Lashley wins. And Theory's perfect streak since Money in the Bank continues. He is 0-13. Moving right along, the Mysterios defeat Finn Balor, Damian Priest with the assistance of Edge. This match, very disappointing. It was no DQ. You know, anything goes. And 90% of the match did not feel like a no DQ. Towards the end of the match, when Finn Balor wanted to bring a chair in, and Rey Mysterio got hold of the chair, even the chair shots were kind of weak, you realize that the whole idea of the no DQ is exactly what we expected it to be. To allow Edge to appear, get involved, help the Mysterios win. And that's exactly what happened. This match, if you go back and watch it, up until the moment where Rhea Ripley started beating the shit out of Dominic towards the end, when she stopped the double 619, this felt like a Raw match. It did not feel that energy that we felt on Monday, where a lot of us thought that maybe Dominic would turn. There was none of that energy tonight. It just felt like, All right, I'll explain it like this. Anybody that's on a bland diet, you might buy like these fat-free chips, or if you're on keto, you get keto chips, and you bite into it, and it tastes like cardboard. It tastes awful. But you realize it's not, I did see a fly fucking fly by just now. It's not meant to be on its own. It's meant to be used with something else. The chip is not really good by itself, but it's utilized to use it as an outlet for something else. Scoop up guacamole, scoop up this. The Mysterios match tonight against the Judgment Day was not about redemption, was not about revenge. It was not about trying to get back at the Judgment Day for what they did to the Mysterios, even at the party in Madison Square Garden. This was about Edge making his return. And as I showed you earlier, Edge appeared, speared Finn Balor, speared Damian Priest. This allowed the Mysterios to hit the double 619. Rhea Ripley was nowhere to be found during all of this because obviously there's no female to offset Rhea Ripley in this storyline. We didn't get Aaliyah. Thank God we didn't get Aaliyah. We didn't need Aaliyah to be overtaking Rhea Ripley in all of this. But Edge makes his appearance. We get the double 619, and your winners, the Mysterios. So far, I mean, pretty much other than the surprises, everything seems to be in sync as far as what we're getting tonight. Great match. You know, very lackluster for an ODQ. Happy Corbin versus Pat McAfee. Now, earlier when we did the predictions, I said under no circumstances, well, can I ever predict a win for Corbin? But, you know, this match tonight, very underwhelming. I think the highlight of this match was this. We had a choir. And if you look, I'm not going to zoom in on these guys. Well, actually, maybe I don't know if my computer will let me zoom in tonight, but I'm going to say something for real. Look, if you look on the end, I could swear that's A-Train. I could swear that's A-Train. If Road Dogg wasn't as chunky as he was, I thought, you know what? Maybe some of Triple H's friends are actually like just there, you know, like the fit spots. But as I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh my God, that kind of looks like Adam Cole. This looks like the AEW dark roster. Like everybody on there, right? Except for this guy. Except for that guy in the middle. I don't know who that guy is. I don't even think that guy even knows how to choir. I think he was just there as like a Make-A-Wish winner or something. The other guy on the right, I mean, that's not how you choir, but okay. This looked like the AEW dark roster. I'm looking at this. I'm like, AEW. It looked Dark Order. That's what it looked like to me. They were doing a choir rendition of Bum Ass Corbin, but they were doing it so slow, and it was just freaking hilarious. I mean, it's like the opposite of when we had like Bianca with the choir. This was just a mock. Now, Pat McAfee comes out. He doesn't dress as a wrestler. He comes out shorts, t-shirt. You know what you get with him. This match was all Gaga for the most part. At some points where Corbin got offense, he did it right near the announcer's table. Corey Graves was on commentary since McAfee was involved in the match. So you had Corey Graves and Cole on commentary. Graves is rooting for Corbin, and Cole is rooting for McAfee. So, you know, Corbin, whenever he got some offense, he would tease Michael Cole a little bit. But in the end, we got this. And I know the effort was there, but Pat McAfee tried to execute a Canadian destroyer while standing on the middle rope. Now, if anybody ever watches Adam Cole when he does his Canadian destroyer, he does it beautifully. He jumps off, he studs, and he... you can look at this. It was a little sloppy. There was one point we got a little nervous, too. McAfee was trying to do a swanton to the outside. And, you know, he started losing his balance on the top rope. And, you know, he probably could have been better off just to come off the rope, climb it again, and do the move. But he was not about to have that. He's like, fuck this. He just, even though he was wobbling, he got that one moment where he got stable and he just flew off He flew off. So McAfee gets the win. McAfee gets the win. He gets the revenge on Corbin. So, you know, not a bad match. You know, for McAfee, fine. Was it on the level of WrestleMania? Sure, didn't feel it. I don't know if it's because Corbin was the opponent, but it was a good enough match. Crowd was into McAfee. This was very disappointing for me, as we said earlier. And it's not just about everything I said. But the match itself, it was nowhere near the level of Money in the Bank. Something was lacking, and it wasn't Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett did an okay job. Early in the match, there was a lot of gaga, a lot of antics. Jimmy Uso not breaking at the count of five, so here comes Jeff Jarrett being a little bit extra physical. I said five. Then Angelo Dawkins, same thing. But, you know, this match just felt like it was the air was out of the balloon. I don't know why. I think if the Street Profits would have won this match, I think the perception of the end of the match would be feel totally different. Because it seems like the Street Profits, it's not that the Usos won, it's the Street Profits lost, if you understand what I mean. And in this case, you know, Montez Ford hits the beautiful frog splash. But tonight, leave it to him to do to Rob Van Dam. You know, my ribs are killing me. My ribs are killing me. I have to wait 5 seconds before I attempt the pin. And those 5 seconds were enough to have the Usos get out of it. But sure enough, towards the end of the match, Montez Ford gets thrown over the guardrail. And then you're left with Angelo Dawkins in the ring. He gets hit with a double super kick. And then they hit the one and he, out, over. 3D, and that's it. It's over. Montez Ford, it was a little strange in this match, too. I don't know if you picked up on it. When Montez Ford hit the frog splash, and he was selling his ribs for a little while, and then, you know, Jeff Jarrett counted to two, and the Usos kicked out, Montez Ford was extremely, extremely angry at Jeff Jarrett. And it just felt like it didn't make sense. I could understand Montez Ford being frustrated about the two count, but taking out on Jeff Jarrett as if, you know, he did something wrong, and he really didn't. Montez Ford, little extra anger tonight. I think people will agree. Even during the match, it felt like there's a lot of tension. I don't know what the hell is going to happen with the Street Profits, but if there was ever a time where they should have won those belts tonight and stopped the Usos' reign at 376 days, tonight would have been the night. Where do you go from here? I don't know where you go from here. It feels like the Viking Raiders, the vicious Viking Raiders, may be next in line. And if that happens, you know, we don't see the Viking Raiders taking it off the Usos. We don't want to see the New Day revisited with the Usos again for the 800th time. Where do you go from here? I honestly don't know. I really don't know. Yeah. John, I'm with you. You look at the rest of this year. You look at Clash at the Castle. Who the hell? I mean, unless they get one final encounter, what do you do? A stipulation that the Street Profits can never challenge for the titles again? You know, I don't know if I really am feeling that. You know, I think if, and look, if they win a Clash at the Castle, why couldn't they win at SummerSlam? You know, I don't know. Maybe the Bloodline lose it all at Clash at the Castle. Maybe that's the intention, that after Clash at the Castle, like the Bloodline have to either have all the gold or have none of the gold. Edge and AJ as a tag team, I don't see that. It's not a bad idea. I don't see it. You have AJ and Dolph Ziggler teasing as a tag team. That could be, but are they going to dethrone him? It sure don't feel that way. All right, moving on. We were supposed to get Riddle versus Rollins. Unfortunately, that match was canceled. However, Riddle still came out there, and he was pissed off, and he's not cleared to wrestle. But Randy, you know, told him this, Randy told him that, more of the Randy stuff. And basically, he still wants Seth Rollins regardless. So he's calling out Seth Rollins. He wants to just brawl. Seth Rollins' music hits. Seth comes out. Seth runs to the ring. They have a little bit of a back and forth. This lasted maybe about 30 seconds. And Rollins ultimately with the curb stomp. Riddle, if he was hurt before, he's hurt even more now. So is this leading to Hell in a Cell? Clash at the Castle? Could we end up seeing a Hell in a Cell match between those two? It is possible. But, you know, it's just, you know, a lot of us thought that they were going to give Riddle a match, Seth Rollins a match. Especially Triple H with his tweet, I hear you. You know, I don't know. It just feels like we should have gotten more with Seth Rollins tonight. Ultimately, he hits the curb stomp on Riddle. Riddle is even more injured than before. We see maybe this brings Randy Orton back. Don't count that out. Randy Orton returning might happen sooner than you realize. So, fight pit, I don't see that happening. Why would Seth Rollins want to be part of a fight pit? Seth Rollins is not even known for that, so I don't see that happening. It's not a bad idea, but I don't see that happening. So instead, we got a little schmazz between the two. All right, moving on. All right. Liv Morgan retains the SmackDown Women's Championship against Ronda Rousey. No appearance from Charlotte Flair, but we got an awesome video package. We had two video packages tonight for Kevin Owens, which was pretty cool. They've been doing this on numerous premium live events that they will showcase certain wrestlers. The last one I remember, they did a really nice one for Bobby Lashley. We got one for Kevin Owens pre-show and during SummerSlam. The Charlotte one was excellent. Excellent. Charlotte Flair is about to return. And tomorrow, we're doing the sit-down at 8:05 p.m., so if you want to join us live. But Monday, we'll talk about the Ric Flair match. Hopefully, there's no disaster that we have to talk about. As I said earlier, I'm not watching that match until it happens. And then if I hear that he's okay, he didn't die, he didn't get any serious injuries, he didn't look horrible. And I don't think he will look horrible. I think the match actually will be a lot better than we all speculate. I won't watch it until I know that everything's okay. Because if I watch that Ric Flair match live, all I'm going to keep thinking in the back of my head is, something could happen. Something could happen. Something could happen. And I don't want to have that feeling. If I watch it afterwards and I know that nothing happened, then I can watch it with a clear mind. But I think Charlotte Flair may actually appear tomorrow. I think she may actually appear. In fact, I expect some WWE stars to be present. They might not be on camera, but I expect numerous. That sausage, everybody. You will hear that numerous WWE stars were backstage for Ric Flair's retirement match. You will see that. But getting back to Liv Morgan, Ronda Rousey. We didn't have a Charlotte appearance today to change the subject. We did get a pissed off Ronda Rousey after the match was over. The scenario that we envisioned this morning ended up happening. If you remember when we did predictions, I said Ronda's going to lock a submission move on Liv, and Liv is going to end up pinning Ronda Rousey. And Ronda's not even going to realize that she got pinned. And that's what we got tonight. But we got it in kind of a crappy way. Let's just tell it like it is. This was crappy. I want you to look at this closely because it's only 2 or 3 seconds. Ronda Rousey put an arm submission onto Liv Morgan. Now, to set this up, they were selling that Liv Morgan had a serious arm injury moments before. And a trainer was at ringside. And to add extra sympathy, Liv is saying, don't you dare stop this match. Don't you dare stop this match. And she looked like an injured dog. She's holding her arm. So Ronda goes for the kill. Ronda senses disaster for Liv Morgan. She locks an armbar submission. Liv turns it into a pin attempt. Now, you hear the referee going, 1, 2. Now, if you just think storyline, strictly storyline, if I'm Liv Morgan, and I have a submission move locked on me, but I hear the referee counting to 3. Why, right before the 3 count, would I start tapping? It was stupid. It was very stupid. But it was done to give the asterisk next to Ronda. Ronda Rousey, look, there's one thing we all agreed upon. Ronda Rousey was not going to lose clean. It wasn't happening. Not with Liv Morgan. Not with that name value and what Ronda Rousey is. Never was going to happen. Here is the finish, everybody. Look at your screen and look closely. There you go. Watch the tap. There you go on the top. So I'll show it to you one more time. Here's the pin attempt. One, two, tap, tap. See? So Ronda thinks she won because Ronda felt the tap, but the ref counted to three, didn't see the tap attempt. So you know rematch is coming. Ronda Rousey wasn't too thrilled after the match was over. She cheap-shotted Liv Morgan. She flipped the referee over, locked the armbar in the referee, and got good heel heat from the crowd. I think a lot of that heel heat is frustration with the Ronda character leading up to now. Although I have to say, the last 24 hours of Ronda Rousey has been great. I thought the promo she cut last night on SmackDown was probably the best promo she's cut since she's returned. That anger, that energy. Even when Liv, early on in the match, Liv locked a submission move on Ronda, Ronda wasn't selling pain. Ronda was selling anger. Big difference. Liv had a nice submission move on Ronda. And if you looked at Ronda's face, she wasn't like, oh, ow. She was like, the fuck is this? Like, it pissed off Ronda Rousey is what everybody wants. And now look, here's where the Vince factor does come into play. Remember Ronda Rousey? She thought she was a heel. And Vince told her, no, you're a babyface. I hope Triple H said to her, no, you're a heel. So here, she might reap the immediate rewards of Triple H at the creative helm. Out of everybody on that roster, she may be the one that might benefit from it the quickest. So Liv Morgan gets the win. Ronda with a little post-match beatdown, a little heel heat, and that will carry into SmackDown. So now we go to the main event. But before we go to the main event, we had an appearance from Kane, the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. It's Kane. They didn't refer him as Glenn Jacobs. Kane is not the most popular person at the moment. He has said some interesting stuff on Twitter that even I, yours truly, think it was quite moronic and ignorant and shallow to say. But hey, we live in a world where you're allowed the freedom of having shallow, dumb comments. And yeah, Glenn Jacobs is guilty of some of that. He announced to the crowd tonight, what is the attendance? I have it written down. 48,449. He got a good response from the crowd. Hey, they're in Tennessee. They like their mayor. But yeah, he's been causing some controversy on social media. So, hey, look, he's WWE Hall of Famer. He's beloved by his wrestling peers. He's going to make appearances, you know, and every time that happens, you'll see people online that'll get triggered and pull up the Hangman page, counter tweets and all that. Just let it go. Honestly, okay, came out, announced the crowd, good. Get off my screen. That's it. So we get the main event. This shit was wild. There's nothing that I can say to do its justice. This is a match that I could watch over and over and over again. But I will say this. When Brock came down the rampway driving a tractor, because he's a country boy, and he does drive tractors on his farm. He really does. He knows how to operate it. It's so slow. It's so slow that you don't get the Steve Austin vibes. You don't get the Kurt Angle vibes. You're just watching it, and you just feel like, you know what? If this is Brock's swan song for a while, he's having fun. No question, tonight, Brock Lesnar was having fucking fun. So here comes Brock Lesnar. He's got the tractor. He's going down the rampway. And guys, gals, look at the speed of this. That's how fast it was going. It was not moving. That shit, you could have played like the 12-inch version of your favorite dance song and he still was going down the rampway. So you got the, you know, the bloodline, you know, Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman, at least in the ring. And here comes Brock just riding down the tractor. And he sets up the tractor right next to the ring. So now you know it's going to come into play. The problem is when he sets up the tractor, you know, the shovel part is not that high. And if you, let me fix it. There's better, right? He lifts the shovel as high as it can go. And he's standing at it. And while he's standing in it and they're doing the introductions, you're saying to yourself, you know, I think Brock could probably jump off of that. And sure enough, after Brock introduces himself, 285 pounds, country boy that's going to kick Roman Reigns' ass. Paul Heyman gives us no introduction tonight, by the way. Paul's like, ah, fuck it. He just threw the microphone away, allowed the regular announcer to announce Roman Reigns. So after Roman Reigns is introduced, Brock jumps off, was it the payloader or, you know, the shovel, whatever you want to call that. He jumps off of it, and they have a wild, wild, wild brawl. Suplexes on the outside, suplex on the side of the rampway. We had just an outright brawl. Brock Lesnar incorporating tables in this match, Brock getting put through two tables. We had the big metal structures that hold the lighting, and Roman is getting bashed into that. And this is, you know, last man standing. So to win the match, the opponent cannot answer the 10 count. And when we talked about predictions, we talked about the idea that Brock Lesnar was probably going to get buried in something, physically buried. And that's what we got towards the end of the match. But in between, Jesus Christ. Brock Lesnar brings table into play. Roman puts him through two tables. Roman hits two Superman punches and a spear. And we think, you know, it's a little too early, but we think, you know, this might be the beginning of the end of Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar not only kicks out, he gets the upper hand. And now he's in the tractor again. Brock was in the tractor 3-4 times tonight. Brock goes in the tractor, and he scoops up Roman Reigns. Well, he throws Roman Reigns in the tractor, in that shovel area. He throws Roman Reigns in there, and he raises it up in the air. And again, you realize it's not as high as you think it is. So I don't think they practiced this beforehand, because I don't want to say it's on the level of Kenny Omega, John Moxley exploding finale. But Brock puts Roman in that shovel area, lifts it as high as he could go, and then he turns it over to dump Roman in the ring, like trash. But when he fell in the ring, it looked so, like, soft and nice. And it's like, that didn't look like it did any damage at all. It actually looked kind of comical. So Brock dumps Roman into the ring like trash. But then he starts taking Roman Reigns to Suplex City. And now the crowd is really getting into it. We get just a lot of getting up at the count of 8, getting up at the count of 9. Roman Reigns totally out of it, selling an arm. Brock Lesnar's back is cut open in multiple spots. And we think, holy shit, Brock Lesnar may actually win this. And you start thinking to yourself, like, wow, if he wins this, where do you go from here with this? You know, especially that the Usos retained tonight. But the way they pulled it off, Brock was getting up at anything. And it was over and over and over again. It was like a Michael Myers, like an old school Halloween movie, that Michael Myers gets killed like 4 or 5 times and he still keeps getting up no matter what. They did this more times tonight than I could remember in any recent memory with a WWE match. We've had wrestlers kick out at 2. We've had wrestlers answer a 10 count. But it's with this last man standing match tonight, Brock Lesnar, after being the victim of offense, whether it's the Usos interfering, Theory shows up with the briefcase, Roman Reigns with a spear, Usos and Roman Reigns attacking Brock, every time they nailed him with something that you thought, okay, this might be the end of the match, Brock gets up. And it happened over and over and over and over. And Michael Cole, I'm telling you, he might be the MVP of this whole pay-per-view tonight, premium live event. You listen back to Cole's commentary when Brock just kept getting up, kept answering the count of 10. Michael Cole was spectacular tonight. Now, again, I know a lot of you don't like Michael Cole, but tonight was his night. I think one of the things we will remember about SummerSlam is how good Michael Cole was on the mic tonight. He enhanced what was going on with Brock Lesnar. And I said it earlier, and I'll say it again and now. Even when he said, Brock, please stay down. Referee, count faster. You know, that's not something you hear from a commentator. You know, I mean, I could see if it's storyline with Pat McAfee, you know, Michael Cole's buddy. But this just told a spectacular story. There was nothing to keep Brock Lesnar down. Then we get towards the end of the match. And we get something. When I saw him trying to do it, I didn't think anything was going to happen. All right, I don't want to give it away yet because I know some of you haven't seen it. But Brock Lesnar, you know, Roman Reigns, he's in the ring laid out. And Brock Lesnar puts a triangle choke on Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is out. He's out. The referee is checking Roman Reigns' arms. He's out, unconscious. But this is a last man standing match. Got to count to 10. So the referee makes Brock break the hold, and Roman is unconscious, but he answers at the count of 9. So Brock Lesnar then, with Roman Reigns still in the ring, answered the count of 9, then he collapsed. Brock Lesnar leaves the ring, gets in the tractor, and now he takes the payloader part, the shovel part, and he brings it down to the ground, and he puts it on the floor. So when he pulls up to the ring, he actually pushes the ring. And that was a little reminiscent of Steve Austin when he pulled up that time, remember, with the Zamboni, I think, and he hit the ring, and the ring all moved. That shit is not light, that ring. So when he hit the ring, and the ring moved, I was like, wow, that's a big, heavy piece of equipment. I didn't think it was going to push it that hard. Then he gets that shovel part underneath the ring. And this is the result of it. This is the result of it. Actually lifted the ring up in the air, causing Roman Reigns, like a bad cartoon, to roll to the outside. This is what he did. He literally, I can't show it all at the same time, but he literally got it underneath. And here's Roman Reigns getting up, getting ready to sell it. And he pulls it up, and there you go. That's it. He just rolls to the outside. And that's how the match would end, with the ring up in the air as it was. Never saw anything like that before. I mean, we've seen rings collapse. We've seen ropes break. We've seen, you know, other things. But this was just, the visual was incredible. But unfortunately, we got the end that we kind of expected. The Usos show up. They start attacking Brock. Brock gets the upper hand for a short period of time. But then here comes Roman with a spear. Brock gets up. Shots. Theory comes out. Theory thinks he's going to capitalize on both. Theory gets his ass kicked. He didn't cash in the briefcase, didn't have enough time, so Theory has another day. But every time they would hit Brock with something, Brock would get up over and over and over again. And it got to the point where Roman was like, fuck this. Brock laid out on the floor. They put the announcer's table over him. They put the ring steps over him. They put chairs over him. And I tell you, some of it looked pretty, like, stiff. They were throwing things on top of that, and you could tell, like, you know, that shit was legit, like, banging into him. And then Roman stands on top of the structure. And unfortunately, Brock Lesnar cannot get up from this. Brock Lesnar is counted out at the 10. Roman Reigns is your winner. Roman Reigns retains the unified WWE Universal Championship. Yeah, I agree with you, Nasty. It was on his stomach probably more than anything, but you know that shit had to hurt a little bit. That's a lot of weight, especially with Roman just standing on top of everything, on top of it. But, my God, you know, I still think about, it was only a week ago, guys and gals, it was only a week ago when all those reports were going around that Brock Lesnar walked out of WWE. Instead of just trying to get the facts, maybe wait a half an hour, everybody had to run with it because they needed those hits and they got it wrong. And then a weird dynamic happened over the last week. CM Punk made some comments about Brock Lesnar walking out and bashing WWE for not treating Brock like they did with Sasha and Naomi. It was just a weird set of circumstances because I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, but Brock didn't fucking walk out. If he got mad and left the building for a little bit to, you know, vent or call Vince or he's pissed off, yeah, why? That's natural emotion. You know, these aren't robots here. The fact is he still appeared last week and look at the performance he did tonight. That man did everything that he was supposed to do. So how anybody could criticize him over the last 8 days is like weird. It's weird. But spectacular event tonight. It did have its moments that, you know, were kind of cacas. And sure, the Usos not, you know, losing the belts is disappointing. But on a scale of 1 to 10, I give SummerSlam tonight a 9. I wish Rollins would have had a match. I know that might be a little nitpicking, but still I give it a 9. I think it could have been a little better. Rollins having a match, I think, probably would have put it closer. But 9 out of 10, I think that is nothing but positive for WWE. My favorite match, obviously, the main event. Roman and Brock Lesnar just killed it. My least favorite match, boy, it's kind of rough thinking about it. Probably, McAfee was not bad. Even Ronda Liv was better than I thought it would be. I thought it told a great story. I don't know. I'm going to go with Corbin and McAfee. I mean, it just, I understand their football history, but if they would have done this a year ago, maybe I would have enjoyed it that much more. But when Corbin is on SmackDown for this long and never really goes at it with McAfee and brings up the NFL past, you know, it seems like a storyline that should have been done a year and a half ago. So I'll go with Corbin and McAfee as my least enjoyed match tonight. So before we start heading out of here, because we did a show this morning, we have one tomorrow at 8:05 p.m. with the sit-down, and that's all interactive. So anything you want to talk about from SummerSlam tonight, the floor is yours tomorrow. But I definitely owe a couple of shout-outs. Ronald Ciullo with the 10 spot. Crazy SummerSlam. 9 out of 10, even if Vince was running it. Yeah, I agree with you. Even if Vince was still at the helm and we got this SummerSlam tonight, I don't think there would have been much complaints. I think if anything, people probably would have blamed Vince for the Usos keeping those belts. But it was an excellent, excellent event. Elias was not there tonight. If Elias was there, I would have talked about it. Theme parks with Johnny. His favorite line of the night from Corey Graves. I like you, Cole. When you couldn't have an opinion, and Michael Cole says, yeah, well, things changed around here. It's little subtle digs. You know, Corey Graves and Michael Cole don't do commentary much at all. Corey Graves is the antagonist. So Corey Graves is going to say, you know, shut up, Cole. You know, I liked it when you didn't have an opinion. Listen, I want to make this clear, and I know this will upset some people out there, but I'm telling it like it is. You know, don't think because Vince McMahon retired that suddenly is going to be this incredible level of hate towards Vince McMahon by WWE, especially veterans like Michael Cole and others. Sure, it must be annoying to have Vince in your earpiece after all these years, but Vince gave him that opportunity. Vince gave Pat McAfee an opportunity, and a lot of these guys, they are friends and supporters of Vince McMahon. So just because you see little remarks on TV, don't think that people are now trying to stab Vince McMahon in the back and say, ah, fuck you. What are you going to do about it? Huh? What are you going to do about it? You know, it's just that's not the way real business works. That's how emotional tweets work. That's why even when he brought up Jesse Ventura, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. It bring up Ric Flair's retirement. It's not that big of a deal. You know, having a little extra freedom. Triple H could have said to him, look, if you want to bring up something, you know, I mean, McAfee brought up the rumors of TV-14 2 weeks ago. And that was before Vince resigned. So, you know, playing on a little bit of reality is something they've been doing. It's just that now because it applies to Vince, people think, oh, they're throwing little shots at Vince. I don't buy into that. I don't buy into that. T. Smitty, sorry for being a little late. Dakota Kai has to be thanking her lucky stars she didn't sign with another promotion. Why do you say that? We don't know what Dakota Kai is going to do now under the Triple H helm. You know, understand something. This is not criticizing you, but understand something. When people sign with AEW, I don't think people are signing like, do I have to? You mean that's all I could got? That's all I got? You know, don't think that that's the case. You know, for some of these wrestlers, you know, being able to game, being able to have a limited schedule, being able to do outside projects is just as important as lacing the boots up. So in the case of Dakota Kai, having that extra freedom on social media, and look, under the Triple H helm, that may change with social media. You know, I we'll talk about it on Monday, but I expect changes where you will see wrestlers interacting with rival organization, their wrestlers, if they're friends. I think that's going to be welcome. Like, look, if you're good friends with someone in real life, go ahead, go out, have fun. You know, just don't talk business. We'll have that conversation Monday, but, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Dakota Kai. And I think people have to really stop with this notion that because Triple H is under the helm now, that everybody's going to be utilized the way everybody expects that they should. You're going to still have people in WWE that are going to be frustrated. You're going to still have fans that are going to be frustrated. Some people were very annoyed at Bobby Lashley. He did an interview earlier today, and Bobby Lashley said, look, you know, not much is going to change around here. You know, Triple H is not new to the company. He said that in an interview earlier today. He's like, look, you know, Triple H has been here for a while. You know, not much is going to change. And he's right. He's right. You know, they got to answer to investors and stockholders. It's a $1 billion company. They have to make those investors believe that, you know, everything is stable. We're not shaking things up. If it's not broke, you don't fix it. That's the message they're sending. And a lot of people don't want that message. So that's why you got to understand how the WWE machine works. It's a little boring, but you got to understand it. If you understand it, you'll get it right most of the time. King of Games, incredible main event. Also credit to you, DT. You said they would have covered left and with stuff. Look, that doesn't make me an expert. I think a lot of you out there also thought, you know, having Lesnar lose clean after WrestleMania, after previous bouts, you know, Lesnar never gave up today. Lesnar physically was unable to get up because of science, because of weight being pushed down. You know, they could have filled him up in a thing of cement. They could have handcuffed him to the floor. There's a lot of different ways they could have done this. They could have had, like I said earlier today, they could have had one of those forklifts just crunch on him so he couldn't get up no matter what. So that felt like the only way to beat Brock. Just like Ronda Rousey. You knew Liv was not going to beat Ronda straight up clean, that there was going to be a little bit of a mistake on Ronda's part. And think about this with Ronda. This is the second time now that she has lost a high-profile match with her shoulders up. Liv pinned her. Liv tapped. Remember Becky, Ronda, Charlotte? You know, that ended in some controversy too. So, but thank you for that, King Games, and thank you all. So, with that said, I'm going to get out of here. I hope you enjoyed this quick recap of SummerSlam. Again, if you have not seen it yet, I would recommend you do so. And in the comment section, let me know what you really enjoyed tonight. Where am I getting it wrong? Do you think that the Usos should have retained? Do you feel different? What do you think is going to happen with Sky and Kai? It's going to be interesting. No question about it. Do they start a new faction? Like, what was that one? Like, it was, what, PMS? Oh, that's Terry Reynolds and him from back in the day. But what was that other faction that they did? They did it with Tamina and Sasha. What was the name of that group? So you know this is going to be a three-woman. Absolution? No, it was three letters. What was the name of the group that they did? It was Team Bad. Thank you very much, Austin Nasty. Team Bad. So it'll be like a Team Bad. So that seems, now we got to get a third person. Who's going to be the third person? Is it going to be somebody else from NXT? Maybe. But look, I like what I saw tonight. And, you know, it's not going to change dramatically overnight. But we have Monday with Raw, and let's see where this carries over. Now we got Clash at the Castle in 5 weeks. And right now, my feelings have not changed. I think Drew McIntyre in front of 70,000 plus hometown fans, I think they're going to be the ones to see a title change. Drew McIntyre came out tonight, cut a promo, extremely over with the fans. Drew McIntyre is over as fuck. And that is awesome to see after the fact that he was the COVID champion. Never got to defend that title in front of a live crowd. He was truly the COVID champion. And, you know, imagine if Drew does dethrone Roman. He's going to do something that Brock couldn't do tonight. That gives you an idea of how much they value Drew McIntyre. And that's not hype. That is pretty cool. That is pretty damn cool. So, but let's see what happens also with Rollins. Let's see where this goes with Rollins. Rollins is, I think, the ace in the hole with this. And then you got Kevin Owens. It's now getting back in the mix a little bit. And then before you know it, we'll be right around the corner for Survivor Series and then the road to the Royal Rumble and then Cody's return, and it just keeps on going. So, all right, I'm out of here. Everyone, have a great night. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. It feels like a Sunday night. It feels like I got to get up for work early tomorrow, but I don't. I get to sleep a little late tomorrow, and then tomorrow night, 8:05 p.m., the sit-down hosted by yours truly. If you're around, you want to talk a little more wrestling? Join me. Be well, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.